The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Where are the 9? That question is an accusing finger pointing out ingratitude and unthankfulness. How is it that 90% of those who were healed from a terrible disease, one which not only disfigured its victims, but even worse, isolated them from society, from their family and friends, how is it that 90% of those who were healed from such a terrible disease did not find it in their hearts to return and give praise to God? The truth is that that 90% failure rate is probably lower than our experience would suggest could have been expected. When I was on vicarage, my regular responsibilities included visiting members of the congregation who were hospitalized. On one visit, as I entered the room, I greeted a woman and asked her how things were going for her that day. She said, "Oh, it's a wonderful day. I'm so happy." As you might expect, I was pleased to hear this and asked what was going on. She responded, "They gave me back my bathroom privileges today. I don't have to use the bedpan anymore." That was the first time I ever heard anyone praising and thanking God for being allowed to use the bathroom. As you can tell, it made an impression on me. Even after some 35 years, I still recall it quite vividly. This woman gave thanks and rejoiced over something that I had always taken for granted, had certainly never considered a gift from God for which to give him thanks. As I recall, the woman and I discussed this a bit that day and noted how easy it is to overlook important things which are always with us, which we never have to do without. Over the years, I've had occasion to note this again and again, as I speak with others who are sick, and as I experienced issues with my eyes some years ago. My guess is that you're probably not much different than I am, that you too take the vast majority of God's gifts in your body, with all of its abilities and functions, for granted. And that doesn't begin to consider so many other gifts from God. All of the material blessings of home and family, friends and income, and on and on and on. That makes a response rate of 1 in 10 look extraordinarily good. A level hardly ever reached in our lives. Our text then serves as a stern call to repent, to turn back, to give praise to God. He is far more gracious than we imagine, and we have received far more blessings of body and life, not to mention forgiveness and salvation, than we even begin to consider. And thank God, too, for his mercy, for all of our ingratitude has earned us his just wrath. And despite this, he continues to bless us. But the problem is deeper than just taking God's abundant gifts and blessings for granted. The heart of the problem has to do with our failure to trust God. Notice Jesus' final words to that Samaritan leper whom he had healed. He said, "Your faith has made you well." Or, "Your faith has saved you," it could be translated. This man's turning back, his praising God with a loud voice, falling in worship at Jesus' feet and giving him thanks, was a response of faith. His praise of God was a product of his faith. The 9 failing to return and give praise to God reveals a defect in their faith. Unbelief has no reason to praise or give thanks, or at best, perhaps has some sort of warm feeling of undirected gratitude that would be hard to distinguish from self-satisfaction. The scriptures teach that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's just as true that without faith, it is impossible to praise God or to give him thanks. What we see in the heartfelt praise and thanks of the Samaritan is the fruit of faith. Freely he had received healing from Jesus, and so in faith he freely responds. The gift he had received from Jesus prompted him to trust in God, to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and to return to the Lord in response to all his benefits to him. This Samaritan's praise and thanks welled up from faith in the one who had been merciful and gracious to him. But we should be clear that faith thanks God not only in the midst of great blessings and plenty, though we certainly experience much of that. Faith also thanks God and praises him when we know reverses and troubles. And indeed, it's sometimes in the midst of want and need that we most clearly recognize God's gifts and benefits. This is the sort of reality about which St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi. "I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." God, who strengthens you and me, knows just what combination of blessings and reverses we need to be kept firm in our trust in him. As our confession so wonderfully put it, "God in his purpose has ordained before the time of the world by what crosses and suffering he would conform every one of his elect to the image of his Son. His cross shall and must work together for good for everyone, because they are called according to God's purpose." Finally, God's ultimate purpose, his will for you and the reason he directs your life as he does, is eternal blessedness with him, forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's why he sent his Son to seek and to save the lost, to live in perfect obedience, and then to die in your place, to defeat sin and death for you, and bless you with the gift of eternal life. What more could he do for you than he has done?
But he didn't stop with the gift of his Son. He richly and daily provides you with all that you need for this body and life. He defends you against all danger. Even more, he guards and protects you from all evil. His will is that you would be his own, would live under him in his kingdom, and would be with him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Psalm 116 presents a fitting question for us to consider. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? It also provides a perfect answer. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Praise the Lord, the psalm ends. Praise him indeed. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.